God we serve. Come on, if you love him, clap those hands and give him praise in here. Somebody shout glory. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. Please remain standing. We're going to go ahead and read the scriptures. If you would, open your Bibles one more time to Isaiah chapter 6. We may as well finish it up. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to read one verse. One verse. Isaiah chapter 6. One verse. If you have it, say praise the Lord. If you don't have it yet, say hold up a minute. Amen. We'll wait on you. Amen. Amen. It is good to carry your Bibles with you. Can I get an amen, somebody? Amen. I struggle with it myself, Pastor Jackson, at the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, where I pastor. We also put the scriptures and everything on the screen. And I've noticed since we started doing that, Deacon Duren, folk quit bringing their Bibles. Amen. And then one Sunday the screen went out and folk were lost. It is always good to carry your Bible. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 is what we're going to read. And it reads, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Amen. If you would, grab hands with someone close to you and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bless you tonight and thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for being our Redeemer and our shield. Thank you for being our strength, wisdom, and strong tower. As the old Christians used to say, thank you for being our burden bearer and our heavy load sharer. Thank you for watching over us once again all day long. For we realize it was not our safe driving, it was not our skillfulness behind the wheel. For your word said, if the Lord isn't keeping the city, then the watchman waketh but in vain. So God, thank you for watching over us last night. For standing guard around the home as we slept and slumbered, God. And oblivious to what was going on around us, and yet confident that everything would be all right because God was on the watch. And so God, we've come again tonight to sit at your feet. We remember in your word that when you stopped by the house of Lazarus, that Mary was sitting at your feet, but her sister Martha was cumbersome about many things. And she wanted you to make Mary get up and help her. And you told her, Martha, you're cumbersome about too much. Mary hath chosen that good part. And so God, out of all that we've gone through today, we have chosen that good part to come and sit at your feet and say, Lord, speak to our hearts. And God, as you speak, do what you exhorted John to write in Revelation. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Bind the hand of the enemy, every demon, principality, power, ruler of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. God, bless the hands that we are holding. Keep them from falling. As your brother Jude said, now to him who is able to keep you from falling. God, thank you for keeping them from falling. Now, God, bless them. Exceeding abundantly above all they could ask or think. And God, as you do it, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. For as in the name of your son Jesus, we do pray. Let us all say amen. Come on, if you would, clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's good to see my friend here tonight, Pastor Wilson and the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. Would you give the Lord a hand for them? I ain't know you could sing. Amen. And the Church of the Restoration and Transformation. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise for them, man. Thank God for True Vine being with us here tonight. I'm also grateful and thankful to have my cousin here with us tonight, Sister Sheila Pons. Thank you, Sheila, for coming to be with us here tonight. Tell somebody next to you, God is good. Come on, I don't hear you. Tell them again. Say, neighbor, God is good. Again, I want to thank the Green Hill Baptist Church here for Goodwill Baptist Church. Amen. Goodwill Baptist Church for the invitation to come and to share this week. I hope that it's been a blessing to you, because it has definitely been a blessing to me. And I want to thank you and Pastor Jackson for all of your kindness and hospitality. When I was a young preacher, learning and developing at the Greater Faith Baptist Church there in Orangeburg, South Carolina, some many, many years ago. I'll never forget that Pastor Griffin used to always tell us, sons, when you go preach, there may be 1,000 people in the audience and 999 of them might not know nothing about what you're talking about. But there's always that one that you got to be concerned about, who will know whether you're telling the story right or whether you're telling the story wrong. Can I get an amen, somebody? And when I sat there and listened to Reverend Pearson and all the notes she was taking from sermons I preached years ago, I said, when you're in her presence, you better tell the story right, because she taking notes and she gonna know whether you told the story right. God bless you, Reverend Pearson. Thank you for that wonderful invitation. Wonderful. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor to your right and say, neighbor, say yes. Come on, turn to your neighbor on the other side. Say, hey, neighbor, whatever you do, say yes, Lord. Touch somebody behind you, in front of you. Say, neighbor, when you hear him calling, say yes, Lord. Now, somebody ought to give God a great big hand. Amen. Reverend Pearson has already given you somewhat a summary of what we talked about on Monday night and Tuesday night. This great prophet by the name of Isaiah, who was transported to heaven into the presence of Almighty God. And in verse 1, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And so the first thing we saw, that when Isaiah was there in heaven, the first thing that happened was he saw the Lord. And then in verses 2 through 4, we find out that he not only saw the Lord, but he saw something else too. He saw these fiery angelic beings called seraphims in the presence of God. And he heard this antiphonal song that they were singing in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So they not only saw something, but they also heard something there in heaven. These fiery beings who in God's presence were on fire for the Lord. Can I ask that again tonight? Is there anybody in here on fire for the Lord tonight? What is interesting to me, Pastor Jackson, is the profound impact that this experience had on Isaiah. Isaiah saw something. Isaiah heard something. And because of what he saw and what he heard, it affected his life in a profound way. When you see God and you have experienced real worship, then it causes you to see yourself not as you see yourself, but it causes you to see yourself the way God sees you. Notice what he said in verse 5. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What Isaiah saw is that standing in the presence of God, standing under the shadow of the Almighty, that as celebrated as he might have been, and as celebrated as Uzziah might have been, that in the presence of God, he saw himself totally unworthy, totally undeserving, totally unfit to even be in God's presence, let alone worshiping God. He reminds us that everything we have is not because we're worthy or because we earn it, but everything we have is all because of his grace. Oh, anybody in here glad about grace tonight? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and the not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because there are some folk who have this mentality that when I get to heaven, my good is going to outweigh my bad, and that's why God is going to let me in. God is not going to let you into heaven because your good outweighs your bad, because God said there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you were to be weighed in the scales, it's not your good that will be weighed against your bad, because you are not the standard. God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The standard is God's glory. And when you measure yourself up against God, you are going to always come up short. Oh, can I get an amen, somebody? Maybe you don't understand what God requires. In Matthew chapter 5, I think it's around verse 48, Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The standard is perfection because God is perfect. What do you mean perfect? God requires 24 hours a day. Are you with? Or 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 leap year. He requires you to think the perfect thought. If you do not, God says you come up short and you are a sinner. Anybody in here other than me guilty tonight? 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 leap year. God requires you to say the right word at all times. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 leap year. God requires you to do the right thing. God says if you don't, then you come up short and you are a sinner. Any sinners in the house tonight? Somebody shout thank God for Jesus. Because all have sinned, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the payment, the wages of sin is death. But thank God for that conjunction, that but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I get to heaven, if God was to ask me, why should I let you in? I will point to his right hand and say, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me. Why, there anybody in here been washed tonight? Can somebody give God some praise up in here? Isaiah said, woe is me. I am unfit. I am unworthy. I shouldn't even be here in the presence of God. I don't have the right to offer worship up to Almighty God. And the problem here is this. Isaiah could do nothing for himself to
get himself right with God. God just dropped this in my spirit. Let me help somebody here tonight. If you're waiting to get yourself together before you give your life to the Lord, you're going to be waiting a long time, because you'll never be able to get yourself right with God. You better listen to what the old hymn writer said. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Anybody in here glad God took you just like you were? Somebody shout glory.
Isaiah says, woe is me. There is nothing that he can do for himself. If anything is going to be done, God would have to do it for him. And so the Bible says in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Isaiah's in a place where he can't do anything for himself. But what he does do is confess that I know where I am. See, there are some of us so full of ourselves, we think we pretty good. Look at somebody, tell them, you ain't that good. Come on, tell them again. Say, neighbor, you ain't that good. And so God did something for him. The angel flew to the altar where there were live coals on the altar. And he took a coal, watch this now, off the altar and touched his lips. The altar signifies that a sacrifice had been made, because the altar was the place of sacrifice. When God gave Moses the plans for the tabernacle, when God gave David the plans for the temple, when you entered into the tabernacle courtyard, the first thing that you encountered was an altar. Before you can approach God, sacrifice must be made. A sacrifice had been made. For God said there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Based on sacrifice, the angel was able to take his tongues and take a coal off that altar where a sacrifice had been made and touch the lips of Isaiah. Notice what happened when he touched Isaiah. The Bible says, verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. See, the problem with Isaiah was that he was a sinner who needed to be cleaned up before he could do anything in the presence of God. But he couldn't clean himself up. The only person that could clean him up was God. And so God provided what Isaiah needed for him to be cleansed. Now, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God provided what I needed for me to get cleaned up so I could be a child of the living God. Somebody said, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Anybody glad he cleaned you up? Anybody glad he brought you out? Anybody glad he straightened out your life? Touch your neighbor and tell him, thank God for the blood. Now, see, some of us, all of us should have been praising God right now. Oh, can I get an amen, somebody? Because my Bible tells me that when
time he saved me, he brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. See, it wasn't until I met Jesus that I realized how much in the dark I was. Oh, can I get an amen, somebody? Oh, come on, don't sit there and look at me like this now. You ain't been in church all your life. You ain't been clapping your hands all your life. You ain't been praising God all your life. I know I ain't the only one God pulled out of a club out there somewhere. Oh, anybody glad about it? I look back over my life and I think things over. I can truly say I've been blessed. I got a testimony. Anybody in here got a testimony tonight? I mean, when I was out there before I met the Lord, I wonder sometimes, was I crazy? Are you praying with me? You know, some of us had the audacity, Sister Barbara, to go to a club. Dark club. Can I get an amen, somebody? Ain't no light on in the clubs. And had the nerve to get our minds dark before we got there. Oh, don't sit there and act like you ain't took no drink. Can I get an amen, somebody? Somebody shout glory. They'll smoke you a blunt or something. Can I get an amen, somebody? Went in the dark club, mind dark, and then had the nerve to put on dark shades and thought we were cool. Oh, look at somebody, tell them, thank God he brought me out. He brought me out of darkness. He brought me into the marvelous light. Jesus is the light of the world. He lightened up my life. Anybody glad he lightened up your life? Oh, come on, tell somebody, he touched me. Tell your neighbor, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Look at somebody and tell them, say yes. I don't hear you. Tell them again. Say, neighbor. Say yes. What happened in verse 6 and 7 is extremely important to what takes place in verse 8. In verse 1, he saw the Lord. Are you with me? In verses 2 through 4, he saw the seraphims. He heard the seraphims. But in verse 8, he hears the Lord. Oh, somebody missed that. Somebody missed that. Notice, he didn't hear God until he got cleaned up. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me? See, if you ain't saved, you can't hear God. If you ain't trying to live right with the Lord, you can't hear God. Are you with me tonight? The Bible says in Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Don't fool yourself. God don't hear everybody. Oh, can I get an amen, somebody? As a matter of fact, later on, Isaiah himself would write in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, ain't nothing wrong with God. The problem ain't on his side of the fence. The problem is on our side of the fence. For he said, but your iniquities have hid his face from you. And your iniquities have caused God to hide his face. And your sins have caused God not to hear, not to listen to you. Don't fool yourself. Unconfessed sin will kill your prayer life. But I am so glad that God knew that even as a saved, born again, blood washed child of the living God, I would still be struggling with sin in this flesh. So he gave me a remedy in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, sin will block up the prayer line, but thank God, service can still be restored. Anybody glad God can turn it back on? Somebody shout amen. Isaiah has been cleansed, and so now he can hear God. What's important? You can't know God's will for your life if you can't hear him. Can I get an amen, somebody? You can't know what direction God wants you to go in if you can't hear him. You can't praise God the way God wants to be praised if you can't hear him. You can't see God in all of his glory if you can't hear him. You can't respond to what is going on if you can't hear him. Anybody glad you can hear the Lord tonight? Isaiah's experience had a profound impact on him. And every time we come to church, we ought not ever get so comfortable coming to church that it becomes a routine. See, we ought to come to church expecting God to do something great. Are you hearing me? See, I come to church the fellowship with the saints, and I'm glad Pastor Jackson is here. I'm glad Pleasant Grove, Pastor Wilson is here. I'm glad Restoration Transformation is here. I'm glad that True Fine is here. I'm glad that Goodwill is here. But I'm more glad that the Lord promised that where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he would be there. See, it ain't no use coming if just us gonna be here. But since the Lord is here, he's what? Anybody want to give him praise tonight? Touch your neighbor and tell him the Lord is here. I don't hear you. Tell him again. Say, neighbor, the Lord is here. He said that two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Can we go deeper with that? Notice that God is an omnipresent God. Amen. He's everywhere at the same time. When he goes somewhere, he's always going where he already is. Y'all missed that one. Can I get an amen, somebody? Because there's nowhere he is not. So since God is everywhere at the same time, when he says two or three, I'll be there, what he's promising is a special manifestation of his presence. He said, I'm going to be with y'all in a special way. That's why when I come to church, I expect God to do something, to say something, to impact my life. I should never leave the same way that I came in. Oh, anybody got a praise for him tonight? Come on, touch your neighbor to your right and say, neighbor, say yes. I don't hear you. Find somebody on the other side. Say, neighbor, say yes. Find somebody behind you or in front of you. Say, neighbor, say yes. Can somebody say, yeah? Touch your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, all God is looking for is for somebody to just say yes. Anybody in here got a yes in your spirit? I said, anybody in here got a yes on your heart? Can somebody say yeah? Touch your neighbor and tell a neighbor, God is calling. Because Isaiah, he heard the Lord say, who shall go for us and whom shall I send? Isaiah, because he's been cleaned up, he can now hear the voice of the Lord. But there's something else that sticks out. Not only can he hear God, but he can now respond to the Lord. Can I get an amen, somebody? Or maybe you missed it. But way back in verses 2 through 4, all he could do was stand on the sideline and listen to the seraphims as they praise the Lord. But now here in verse 8, he can respond to the voice of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God saved my life. I used to be on the sidelines. I used to come to church. I used to wonder what the fuss is about. I used to wonder why they're clapping their hands, why they're stomping their feet. I didn't understand why they were standing up and shouting with their voice. But ever since that day, when I met Jesus for myself, when he cleaned me up, brushed me off, set my feet on solid ground, he put clapping in my hands, running in my feet, shouting in my voice, anybody love him? I said, anybody love him? I said, anybody love him? Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Yeah. Touch your neighbor. Tell a neighbor. Say yes. Oh, come on and clap your hands and give the Lord. Oh. 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 I'm so glad that God saw fit to use me. God didn't have to call Isaiah in the service. He didn't have to call me or you in the service. He didn't have to clean us up. But since he did, we may as well say yes. Can I get an amen, somebody? Oh, somebody ought to shout glory. Touch your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, God has something for you to do. Every child of God, when they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, he has given you a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts, and he expects you to use them for his glory. Your blessing is in your yes. Oh, y'all missed that. I said your blessing is in your yes. You waiting on a healing? Say yes, Lord. You need a financial blessing? Say yes, Lord. You need God to put your family back together? Say yes, Lord. You want to know God's will and purpose for your life? Say yes, Lord. That's all he's looking for. Somebody to just say yes. Look at somebody, tell them, don't miss your blessing. I don't hear you, tell them again. Say, neighbor, don't miss your blessing. Can somebody clap your hands and give the Lord? Lord of praise. Amen. Let me share this testimony with you, because there was a time I almost missed mine. Amen, somebody. I've been preaching this gospel now for about 35 years. And there's two people in here who they can tell you. I'm telling the truth. This is the gospel truth. That the Lord had been calling me to preach. He'd been calling me for a while. And I kept saying, no, not me. He must be calling somebody else. And I'll never forget, there was one night, and I was laying there in the bed with my wife, and I heard him just as clear. And I woke up, and I said, no! Okay, amen, somebody. And I remember my wife woke up, and she looked over at me, and she said, you all right? I said, yeah. And she sensed it. She said, is the Lord calling you again? I said, yeah. She said, Rick, I'm not in that. But the only problem is with that is whoever you connected to, you pulled them into whatever you into. Can I get an amen, somebody? Oh, somebody ought to give God praise in here. Amen. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, say yes. My wife at the time was expecting our first child, and it was the 7th month of the pregnancy. And in the middle of the night, her water broke. And so we got her to the hospital. And the doctors were saying, well, it's way too early. And we were living in Orangeburg, and they were saying, we're going to have to fly her to Columbia, to Richland. And I remember calling my pastor, and I said, we called him Pops. I said, Pops, I don't know what's going on. He said, Rick, in every hospital, there's a chapel. Go down there and talk to the Lord. And I went in that chapel, and I got on my knees, and I talked to the Lord. And I'm serious. I heard his voice just as clear. You know what I want. And I said, okay, Lord, you just make sure they're all right, and I'll preach. And I got up and preached my first sermon to some empty pews in a chapel in Orangeburg Regional Hospital. And I left out the chapel and went up to the 2nd floor, and the doctors met me. And they said, I said, how's it going? They said, oh, Mr. Glenn, everything's all right. The baby been born. We ain't got to take her nowhere. Everything's good to go, because God knows what he wants. And God ain't going to, I don't know who this is for tonight, but God ain't going to leave you alone until you say yes, because your blessing is in your yes. And here I am 35 years later, still fulfilling that yes. Oh, can somebody give God a praise? Amen. Come on, do you love it? How great is our God?